I'm having a good time already, and we're not even started. Thank you, Father. 1 John chapter 5. We'll start with about verse 13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may... Now, this is a separate thought here. Our same thought, but a separate statement concerning that thought. First, he said that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That was one statement. Now, here's the next one. That you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. First, he said, believe in the name of the Son of God that you may have eternal life. Well, he certainly didn't repeat himself. He said that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked him of him. What I find is that many people actually don't get past the first obstacle in getting their prayers answered. And that is knowing that he hears you. If you don't know that God hears you when you pray, chances are you're not going to have, unless the grace of God is so just overrides you, you're not going to have your prayer answered. He says that you know that he hears you. And then whatsoever your petitions are, then they'll be answered. He said, know this, that the name of God, of the Son of God, that you have confidence in the name of the Son of God. And if you don't have that confidence that he hears you, how are you going to have the prayer answered? But whenever you start doing certain things in the Word of God, then you begin to turn that lack of confidence in him hearing you into faith in what God can do. Whenever you pray in the Holy Ghost, he says, you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Building yourself up in your most holy faith, what do you think you're doing? See, you're leaving behind the doubt and unbelief that he even hears you to begin with.
Amen.
And when you leave that behind, then you go into that place of not only that he hears you, but that you get your prayers answered. But that's why it's so important to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, another thing about praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, I remember a time when I used to think, and I still do to an extent, but he's corrected me just a little bit on this. And I remember when I was in Tulsa in the real estate business, and I would be spending a lot of time driving around in the car during the day. And I spent a lot of time praying in other tongues while I was driving around in the city. But since then, he's corrected me on that. And that is that there also, in addition to that, and I'm not saying for you to stop something like that. I'm just telling you this, that you're going to have to come to a place where you have consecrated prayer.
Amen.
That means you set aside, whether it be an hour or 2 hours a day, that you set aside that time that is totally from him. Well, I spend my time in prayer, Pastor, when I'm doing this or when I'm doing that. That's not enough. If you think that you can get by with that and that's the only thing, you're wrong. See, there's a time for everything. And there's that time of consecrated prayer, of setting aside some time with him, for him, just for him, just for him.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Amen.
Except just for him. And so I'm not saying that you would stop, you know, praying while you're doing something. I'm saying that in addition to that, you've got to find this time that you can allow him to come in and visit you. and get something across to you or to receive something from Him. And if you're going about doing other things while you're praying, yes, you're accomplishing a little bit. I understand that. But you're not accomplishing what God wants. And that is total involvement, total fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Nothing else involved. And so then, also then, whenever we say, well, let's read it again here, because I don't think we've read it enough. In verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, you've got to have that confidence. According to His will, He hears us. You've got to have that confidence that He hears you. Well, what are we doing on Friday evenings when we're here? Well, we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. We're going beyond that doubt and unbelief and that lack of confidence and that He hears us. We're going beyond that. Then also, what else are we doing? We're building a picture. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And in Psalms 33:6, I don't know whether yours has a notation down there, mine has a reference to Psalms 33:6. It said the heavens were made by the Word of God. So what are we doing on that Friday night? We're building a picture. What does that picture do? That picture overcomes your doubt and unbelief that He even hears you to begin with. You have this doubt and unbelief that He even hears you, and you don't want to admit it. You know, it's like, well, you know, I know God hears me. You know, and you know, you tell everybody else, I know that God hears me, but deep down, is that really the case? How many would admit that that's not really the case? See, I'll be the first to admit, I've got to get rid of more doubt and unbelief. I've got to get a better picture in what is going on with what God wants.
Amen.
How it looks according to Him. That's why we're always lifting people up in prayer. We're lifting the city up, as we've got to begin to change that picture on the inside of us.
Amen.
God is okay. He has the right picture. So you say, well, it says over in Matthew not to pray with vain repetitions. Well, it doesn't mean the same thing. He was talking about, you know, don't get in this practice of saying these colorful words in your prayer time and all of this stuff that don't have any meaning. That's not the same as lifting something up and agreeing with God and saying, I'm going to change the image that is on the inside. God looks at it this way. I'm not looking at it that way good enough. I need to change the image on the inside of me. See, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's going to change that image, change it how you look at things.
Amen.
And then that's when the doubt and unbelief is done away with, in the faith and believing that He actually hears us. He actually hears us. You've got to believe first that He hears you before you can expect your prayers to be answered. Oh, I don't know whether God would want to hear me or not. Well, probably not in the shape you're in at that point, but He would like to get you in that position where he can hear you. See? He wants to. He's striving to. He's just waiting on us. See, God is okay. It's not God that's the problem.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Turn with me. Go ahead and turn with me to, I believe it's Matthew chapter 7. Going into that place, believing to begin with that God actually hears you. How many in here would like to see more of your prayers answered?
Amen.
See, I'm always striving more answer. What is wrong? What's out of place? What is it that, God, I know you're right. Now, what is it that I'm doing that is wrong? Where am I at that's wrong? What place am I at that's wrong? See, I want more prayers answered. I want to be able to overcome more things in my life. I want to be able to overcome more things that come against me. I don't want them to have the success. See, I'm tired of the devil having success.
Amen.
God intends for me to be victorious in every area. He wants to be the one that is overcome, that does the overcoming. He doesn't want the devil overcoming us. See?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 24. It says, and we're not going to get all through this tonight. I have no intention of getting all through what he has showed me here. Therefore, whoever hears, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. It's not good enough to come in here and sit down and give God half your attention.
Amen.
It's not good enough. Lord, should I say this or not? If you're not going to come in here and give God your attention, you're just supposed to stay at home. See? He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, if you haven't heard what's said, you're not going to be able to do them. And it's not just good enough just to hear them, but we've got to do the stuff, see? He says, and whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Now that's called a storm. It says the storm beat on that house. We could say, well, the rain came and the wind blew and it beat on that house. I'd rather just say this. Let's just say it like it is. The storm came and beat on my house. And the storm came and beat on my house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And then in verse 26. See, you can't read one part of it without reading the other. But everyone, now we'd all like to be in that first two verses. That's where we'd like to be at. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know why he called him a foolish man? Because he had heard the things and decided not to do them.
Amen.
And does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. He didn't say, if the storms come and your house is founded on the rock, it'll withstand. He didn't say, if the storms come and your foundation, your footing is not dug deep, your house will fall. He didn't say, if the storm comes. He said, when the storms came.
Amen.
See, we're going to have storms.
Amen.
That's why we need to know that God is hearing our prayers, that He's hearing our petitions, is because we're going to have storms. They're going to come against us. They're going to come against our house. See, we're building a house here. It's the same as building that picture. We're building a house here. And if that footing is not dug deep and that foundation is not put in deep, that house doesn't have a chance. The rest of that house is weak because the foundation is weak.
Yeah.
So he said this. He said, let's go back to verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The storm came. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The storm came, and it tested his house. And it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. How many knows what the rock is? The Word of God. And who is the Word? Jesus. That makes Him the rock. It'd be good for us to take time to spend time in prayer and to build that image. See, when He talked about speaking to the mountain and using the Word of God, when He talked about that, He called that a form of prayer. And so I can't talk about prayer and just talk about praying in other tongues without talking about also using the Word of God in confession. But I can't talk about confession and using the Word of God without also at the same time talking about praying in other tongues. Does anybody know why? Because when I'm praying in other tongues, I'm praying down the mind of Christ. And what is the mind of Christ? The picture that God wants us to have of what God will do in us, to us, and through us. For us, to us, in us, through us. All of it. So I can't talk about one without the other. If you say, well, I'm going to do one, but I really don't understand that other. You need to just start doing it, because you need to start beginning to change that picture that God is actually hearing you when you pray according to His will. Well, how do I know that I'm praying according to His will? You're going to have to read the Word of God.
Amen.
Some of you are not reading the Word of God. Moving right along. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Well, if you have those sayings and you hear them and do them, that means your house is going to be built on the rock, so it would be good to know what those sayings were. Because if you don't have those sayings, if you don't have that image on the inside of you and those sayings built down deep inside of you, you're not going to be able to build your house on the rock. So it would be good, wouldn't it, to find out those sayings. We can't do it without finding out those sayings first. Then, before we can ever think about doing them. Okay, well, we're going to take one of them tonight and take a look at it. Chapter 7, verse 1. He said there in verse 24, let me just repeat that and read that one more time. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, this is the deal. I like using that. Okay, this is the deal. You've got to find out the sayings. Well, if you're going to find out the sayings, he must have just got through talking about the sayings, because he said, therefore. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. So the sayings must be right there somewhere. Well, we could back up. See, people take things out of context and they don't spend enough time reading the Word and meditating the Word of God. We've told person after person, you need to sit down and read the Word of God and pray in other tongues. Because when you pray in other tongues, you're praying down the mind of Christ in your life. You're building yourself up in your most holy faith. You're getting rid of the doubt and unbelief. When you read the Word of God, you're beginning to get a picture and building an image on the inside of you of what God has for you, what He wants to do for you, see, of what you're supposed to be like. And so people will just read a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, it's all right to start out with a little bit. But you need to be taking the Word of God in. See, you've spent, some of us have spent, I hate to just discuss this, but I'm going to go ahead anyhow. Some of us have spent 48 years building the wrong image. Well, not quite that. You know, I was just using my age, but actually I could back up, you know, some. I did start building, changing that image. But some of us have spent years building the wrong image, and we expect to read just a little bit of the Word of God and change the image in our life. It don't work that way. You've got to spend as much time changing that image as it took to put that wrong image down on the inside of you.
Amen.
Sorry, Ruby, if I talk about you a little bit. That's good. Well, at least I asked her this time. So.
Hey,
if she'd have said, no, I'd rather that you not, I would have done it anyhow. We had Ruby a while back to start reading a book in the New Testament. I don't remember what we started with exactly. Romans? So let's say we started Romans. We had her to read it over 50 times or so. So you can't read it just a little bit, so I'm going to get this down the side. And we said, Ruby, read Romans over and over and pray in other tongues. Pastor, can I fast? No. Pastor, can I worship God? No. It's not that they're wrong. Fasting does something that prayer doesn't. Worship does something that prayer doesn't. But in this particular case, and in most cases, a person needs to get founded in the Word of God and needs to do a lot of reading in the Word of God, meditating it, reading it over and over and over and over. You know, it's all right if you want to read all of the New Testament. There's nothing wrong with that. But you also need, in addition to that, to take a book out of the Bible and just read it over about 50 times. Meditate on that book. Let God speak to you. But all the time, taking time also, praying in other tongues, getting the mind of Christ in your life.
Amen.
See, building yourself up on your most holy faith. See, there's a time of prayer, there's a time of meditating the Word, there's a time of fasting, there's a time of worship. So you could back up in this, what we were talking about, you could back up in order to get this whole subject in, you could back up to probably about, you could back up to the beginning of chapter 5, but we're not going to do that. See, that's where that whole subject started, was chapter 5. Isn't that right, Pastor David?
Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, that's right. So you could back up all, but we're not going to do that tonight. Backing up to chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment... Now, he just got done talking about not taking on care. Getting your needs met. And knowing that if you sought the kingdom of God first and His righteousness first, that all these things would be added unto you. That's what he just got through talking about. Now, he didn't switch the subject. He said, judge that you not be judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now you think, well, he changed the subject right there in verse 6. No, he didn't. He's still talking about judgment. I've had people to say, I'm not going to tell them anything good. They won't listen to me. I'm not going to tell them anything about what God will do. Then I'm not going to cast my pearls before his line. Well, that's not what that means.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that.
Amen.
He didn't change the subject. He's still talking about judging. What that says in verse 6 is this. Is why would you judge someone when you also have that same plank in your own eye and you judge someone and you give the devil the right to turn and tear you to pieces?
Amen.
Now we're talking about the sayings. Remember the sayings that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's what we're talking about. It's the sayings that it takes to dig the house deep, dig the foundation deep, and build your house on the rock. So he says, do not give what is holy to the dogs. Father, I thank you that those feet are healed in Jesus' name. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask now. It looks like he changed the subject again, doesn't it? It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is among you who, if it looks like he changed the subject again. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Then if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It looked like he changed the subject two or three times there. He's still talking about the same thing. He's just saying this. He's saying, look, why would you judge whenever the devil can have the right, the legal right, to turn against you and tear you to pieces if you don't remove the plank from your own eye? But know this, that your Father who is in heaven will remove that plank from your own eye if you ask him to.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
He'll answer your prayer and remove that plank. Now, why would I want to not be judged? Well, for one thing, whenever you judge, you're going to be judged.
Amen.
See? But look at this. Here's another good reason. In verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Well, how can you judge the fruits of someone else or of someone who comes along if you haven't removed that from your own eye? If your eye is bad, how are you going to be able to judge what you see, whether it be good fruits or bad fruits? So wouldn't it be a good idea to take some time and say, I'm going to start removing this judgmentalness from myself and quit judging others and begin to clear that from your own eye that you might be able to have the capacity to judge fruits, good or bad, that come by. You say, well, wouldn't that be judging somebody? No, not if you judge the fruits. He didn't say judge the person, he said judge the fruits. Good fruits or bad fruits? Do I want to follow those fruits or not? Stand to your feet. We're going going to continue on with it in the morning. We're talking about building that house on the rock by doing these things. And we got to know these things that we're supposed to do before we can build our house on the rock. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Talking about, thank you today. Thank you. Your presence. We just yield unto you, Father God. Spirit, soul, and body, Father, we yield. That we may have that anointing, that precious presence from heaven, saturating us, Father. Guiding us, teaching us, healing our bodies, Father. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, teach us what you would want us to learn this morning in this particular moment of time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. And did you have a good time last night?
Amen.
I had a good time. I admit I got a little bit tough last night. Whenever I tell you just to leave, you know, if you don't want to be here. That's getting a little bit tough. But I qualify a little bit of it with what he said in Matthew. And if you want to go ahead and turn there. In Matthew chapter 7. So we're going to pick back up where we were at last night. Take it just a little bit farther. Maybe review just a little bit and take it a little bit farther. So, you know, even if you don't really want to be here, you need to stay anyhow. I'm going to take back what I said last night for you to go ahead and leave if you didn't want to be here. Because if you hang around enough, a little bit of it at a time will rub off on you and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
There'll be times that, I don't know how Sister Ruby put it last night about me, I come closer to grips with things, but when you preach, I get farther away. Something like that. I'm not sure just exactly how it was. Well, that's
it.
Knocked them clear out of their comfort zone. I never had it put that way before. I'll take that as a compliment. I'm not really sure about it. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7. It's good to see everybody, all of my friends, all new faces that I haven't seen. Good to see everyone. I'm just kind of out there just a little bit, and I don't know just how far he wants to take this morning, because he's got some other things that he wants to do, and so we're only going to go a little ways here with this. We could spend a lot of time on Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Actually, all the way back to 4. More than what we could get in this morning. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So I wasn't the first one that said, not only do you hear these sayings, but you do them. So when I said, you know, you don't want to be here, you don't want to do this, get out of here, you know. I was a little bit right. But hang around. Hang around, it'll get better. But he said, Therefore, who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when he said the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, he was talking about a storm. And not only that, not only did he talk about a storm, but he's just same as said, that storm's going to come. That you ain't going to have any choice, that you're going to have storms. He didn't say if the rain came down, if the wind blew, he said when it does. Meaning this, you're going to have storms. They're going to come against you.
Well, I just felt like I must have been out of the will of God or I wouldn't have had this storm.
Well, maybe you were out of the will of God, maybe you weren't, I don't know, but he says this, that you're going to have storms that are going to come against your eyes. And he says, this is the wise man that digs deep and puts his house on the rock. He's the one that when the storm comes, the house will still be left standing. But the foolish man, one who didn't hear the sayings or didn't do them after he heard them, he's the foolish one. And when the storms come, he had his house built on the sand, meaning there was no depth to the foundation. It was on the moving ground, and whenever the storm came, the house was devastated. Great was its fall. That means devastation. So I think I'd rather hear the sayings and do them, and be like the wise man and dig deep and put my foundation deep, that my house will be built on the rock, that when that storm comes, ahead of time, before the storm gets here, not after it's here. How many have ever seen anybody out there digging a foundation, pouring a concrete foundation to a house with a storm beating down? Usually you pour that foundation, you dig it and pour that foundation, that footing and stuff, when it's not raining, when there is no storm. See. So ahead of time, before the storm comes, he says, he likens that man to a wise man who will put that foundation deep on the rock before the storm ever comes. And then when the storm gets here, that house is able to stand because he prepared ahead of time.
Amen.
He said, those that hear these sayings of mine and do them. Well, we got to find out what the sayings are before we can go any farther with it. Because that's the only way we're going to put it on the rock, is by finding out what the sayings are. And like I said, we could go back quite a ways in Matthew and pick up, but we're not going to cover all of it today. I just want to review a little bit from last night and then take it just a step farther. So we won't keep you here all morning, just most of it. Therefore, who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And back in verse 22, he says, or verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You're going to have to understand this for one thing. It's all in a personal relationship. It's all in condition of heart, of bringing your heart in line with God's heart and doing what God wants, what's in His heart, and putting your heart in that direction in line with Him. But it's all in personal relationship. Doesn't matter how many demons you cast out. Doesn't matter how many crusades you've done in Peru. It's all in personal relationship. That's what it's all about. Developing that personal relationship with Him. Well, you're only going to be able to do that if you do what God does. If you do what He says. If you do what is in His mind. That's why we say, pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. Because not only are you going to leave the doubt and unbelief behind, but you're going to pray down the mind of Christ, how He thinks about things, how He looks at things. You're going to pray that down into your life. Your mind is going to become like the mind of Christ. So we've got to come to that place that we're agreeable and ready, willing, a state of heart. We're willing to do the things, to hear what he has to say, and to do those things. But we're going to back up and take a look at a couple of things here. Chapter 7 and verse 1, judge not that you not be judged, for what judgment will you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. Continuing on in the same subject now, the same thought. Do not give what is the holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Continuing on in the same thought, not changing thought at all. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is good, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, you also do to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And that right there justifies, clarifies, illustrates that it's still the same thought from verse 1 all the way up through there. But it sounds like that he changed the subject a couple of different times in those verses, but he did not. It's the same subject. He says this. He says, before you can tell your brother to remove the splinter from his eye, remove first the plank from your own eye. Meaning this, don't be judging someone else for the same thing that's in your eye. If you're doing the same thing they are, don't be telling them that they have to remove this splinter from their eye and judging them what they have in their life when your own condition of your own heart is wrong. Continuing on. And he says, verse 6, look like he changed the subject from removing that plank from your own eye and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Look like he changed the subject at that point or changed the thought. Do not give what is holy to the dogs nor cast your pearls before swine. And I've heard him say over and over again, I wasn't going to argue with that person or tell them anything good or pass on any blessing because I would just be casting my pearls before swine. That wasn't what that meant at all. If you keep it in the same subject as what you just read, in the same context, it wasn't what it meant at all. I guess you could take it out of context and say that if you wanted, I'm not going to give you any good thoughts of mine or any good things I've learned out of the Word of God because I'll just be casting my pearls before swine. Wasn't what it meant at all. Here's what it meant. That whenever you judge someone else for something you have already in your own eye, and you haven't clearly removed and made clear your own eye, then what you're doing is you're casting your pearls before swine, and they're going to turn and tear you to pieces for what you judged someone else for when you hadn't clearly removed it from your own eye. Meaning this, you give the devil the right to turn and tear you to pieces because you judged someone else and turned yourself over to him by judging someone else. That's what it meant. See? So keep it all into context. Then he goes on and he says this. It looked like he changed the subject again. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, he will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Meaning this. This is the answer. This is the simple answer. if your father, who's willing to give you anything, any good gift that you ask of him to remove this plank from your own eye, and it'll be removed from your eye that you may see clearly to assist your brother and help him out. To be able to help him through whatever he's going through. The first, you're going to have to get it removed from your own eye, and you're not going to do that unless you're able to ask God. Say, God, help me remove from my eye what is in my eye, that I may be able to see things more clearly concerning myself and my brother. Hallelujah. So that was one of the sayings. That was one of the sayings that he talked about here, to build your house on the rock. This is one of the sayings, and you can't really even go into the other sayings without that being accomplished. Now, you go into the other sayings to accomplish that we just talked about. But if you've done everything else right, and then you violated that particular thought there that he was talking about, you just threw it all out the window. It didn't do you no good to do the other things. But if you do the other things, you can remove that from your own eye by doing his sayings. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, it says in verse 31 of chapter 6, 33, I'm sorry, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then he goes into talking about care. So there's another area of his sayings that we can't do in order to build our house on the rock. We can't take on care. Then it's mine. I want to take it on. But you can, and build your house on the rock. To dig deep and build your house on the rock, you cannot take on care, because that takes you, you take yourself and put yourself in the place of God. You make yourself God, because he's the one that's supposed to take on the care for you. And when you take that care on, you're saying, I'm bigger than God. I don't need any help. That's what you're saying. You may not intend to say it, but that is what you're saying. So another one of those things. First, the saying is, judge not. You say, well, you're going backwards on this. Oh, yes, I am, because he said that these sayings are likened to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and when the storm came against his life, his house was able to stand because he heard these things and he done these things. See, this is all in the laws of meditation. Keeping everything in context, reading it all together, meditating on it all together, keeping it all together. These are the sayings. Judge not, or you will be judged. You're judged already by the Word. Why would you want to go ahead and set yourself up for judgment, and that the enemy can turn against you and tear you to pieces with your own things? See, the Word judges you. That's what it's there for. It's to take in the Word. In fact, in Hebrews, it talks about it being in division. Let's just read it, because I'm trying to capture it and not really in Hebrews chapter, I want to say 3, but I could be wrong. Yes, Hebrews chapter 4. I could see it in my mind, but I couldn't see the chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone should fall according to the same example of disobedience. What is that? Judgment. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So see, the Word of God is there to divide things rightly in your own self. So you take that Word, which is called a two-edged sword, and you say, well, I'm going to use that Word on somebody else, you know. Come out, you devil. You're going to get them free, but first you need to turn the word of God, that two-edged sword, on yourself and get yourself free. Then you're able to get somebody else free because you got yourself free, and now you won't be judged because the word of God judges you automatically.
Well, I'm going to wait to heaven and I'm going to be judged there.
Yeah, you will be judged there, but you'll be judged in accordance with the word that already judged you on earth. Why not go ahead and enter into judgment now that you'll not be judged later?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not off judgment yet, are we? I was trying to go on something else. Here we are back on judgment again. Anyhow, that's one of the sayings. Back to Matthew chapter 6. To build your house on the rock, to clear your own self. Let the word of God begin to judge you up front. Let it begin to work in your life and judge you. And then the next thought, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in verse 33, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Care. You can't enter into care. You can't stay into care all the time and build your house on the rock. See, why do you say that? Because that's what the Word of God says. The Word of God is what's judging us. We take the Word of God and we determine in our own lives what is wrong in my life. Is my life, is my parts of my life lining up with what the Word of God says? Am I taking on care? Am I caring about finances? Am I caring about my kids? Oh, that's a big one. I've got experience in both of them. That one about the kids, that's a tough one. They're your own flesh and blood. They've been with you since they were little bitty. You want to take on every care. They don't understand it. They will someday, but they don't now. Hallelujah. Care will destroy everything around you. It'll cause your house to be devastated. When the storm comes and you have care, you're not able to stand and call upon God, who is actually the one that is your caretaker. Necessary. Adjust her spiritually, Father God. every area. Thank you right now, Father. Release that anointing, Father, in her in Jesus' name. Heal. Touch. In Jesus' name. Totally. Totally. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're on the right path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.